very carefully and understand why Jesus Christ died. Now, you'll say very quickly, to wash away our sin. That's correct. He wanted us to be pure. That's correct. He wanted us to be sanctified. That's all correct. You're quite right in saying that. But what he really wanted you and I to be was free. Free. Let's go back into the Old Testament just for a moment and discover that God said, here are 10 commandments. 10. And the rabbis, the Pharisees in particular, the scribes and so on, they put together 620 rules that defined 10 commandments. And they said, this is how you're going to live. And if you don't live this way, you're not a good Hebrew. You're not a good Israelite. And we've done the same. Jesus said, come to me if you're thirsty, and I will quench your thirst. Come to me if you're hungry, and I will feed you. Come to me if you are in need, and I will supply your need. And we have done something quite different. We have organized ourselves into all sorts of fancy things that we call Christian. And I'd like to see if we can't get back to where we ought to be. Why is it that I come to church, you come to church, and leave empty? Why is it we stand up and sing and we sit down and pray and we listen to the preacher and somehow, I don't know, yeah, it was nice to be in church, but or as some of you say as you go out, sorry I went to sleep, Pastor, it was a long week. Why is that? I believe it's this, that there is the lack of the energy of the Holy Spirit in us, and there is something drastically lacking in our thinking. And I will say today, it is our freedom. We don't understand, for instance, that Jesus gave us freedom. Truly, truly, said Jesus. You can turn to this in John 8 and verse 34. Truly, truly, I say, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The Son continues forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. In other words, the slave comes and goes. He can be sold into another household. The slave can retire in the Jewish culture after 7 years. He can get out of his slavery if he wants to, and he can start a new life. However, the Son, the person that belongs to the Lord God Almighty, the Son who has put his trust in the Son of the living God and has become a son of God, that person has this great privilege. He is free. I have been adopted, says Romans, into the family of God. And because I have the name of the family of God written upon the fleshy tablet of my heart, I am born again. I am free. Isn't that wonderful? So why do I tag all sorts of things into that and pretend this is Christianity? There is another thing in Acts 13 where we are in verse 38. Through this man, Paul is ending a great sermon. And he says, through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed unto you. Do you know what forgiveness of sin is? Did I offend you sometime in the last 11 years? Have I offended one of you? Do you still remember that? Are you still munching that over and chewing the cud with it? Are you? Be honest. You don't understand forgiveness, if that is true. Let me explain that. The Lord Jesus forgave our sins, and we are charged to forgive those that trespass against us. We are charged to forgive those that are indebted to us. Have you forgiven? Because if you haven't, you're not. Let me say that again. If you haven't, you're not. So the emphasis Jesus put on this is on us. You must forgive in order to understand forgiveness. In your own experience. It's very difficult, for instance, if someone comes to you and says, loan me a chunk of money. And you say, well, I don't want to. And they beg, and you feel lousy about it, and so you loan the money. The day comes for the repayment, and it passes. Another month goes by, and it passes. And another month goes by, and so on, until that money obviously isn't going to come. The Christian has the option. Forgive the debt or collect the debt. The non-Christian doesn't have that option. His is collect the debt. And we're going to see, because of our economy, various people going broke that we never thought would go broke. But that's because the bank will say, collect the debt. And there will be a scampering and an awful lot of disharmony and upset. If you're in debt, pay it off. Get rid of it as quickly as you can, because the economy is such that the bank will hold you to ransom. When you borrowed from the bank, you said, I am the slave of the lending institution. And the lending institution will collect. But the economy, you'll cry. We don't care, they will say. It's not my fault, the girl behind the desk will say. It's their fault. And you have no one to address, because it's a person that is completely invisible. You can't talk to a corporation. So to learn about forgiveness, you have to forgive. Can you? Can you? Can you forgive? Only when you've learned to forgive will you understand what Jesus is saying when he says, thy sins are forgiven thee. I would take you into Luke and chapter 23 and 24. Jesus is on the cross and he is saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're unconscious of what's happening here. Forgive them. Can you imagine being so insensitive that you don't know that you're having Jesus crucified, that you're watching Jesus on the cross, the blood is flowing down, the agony and the groaning is there at Calvary, And Jesus says, they don't know what they're doing. In John 8 and verse 11, Jesus said to the woman that was taken in adultery, taken in the very act, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. Can you do that? Your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband, your friend, brother, sister, whoever, has done something they should not do. Can you say, I forgive you? In Psalms, we read in 86 and verses 5 and 6. For thou, O Lord, art good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on thee. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Hearken to my cry, excuse me, and supplication. Here the psalmist is saying, listen to me. I'm crying out. Hear me. I'm crying out, Lord, listen to me. If you go into Luke 11, where the record is made, the record is made of the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says to his disciples, this is Luke 11:4, forgive our sins, for we, as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. This is the Living Bible version. That's why I staggered over it for a moment. Please understand, says the writer, that Jesus said, forgive us in the same manner that we forgive those that are against us. I want so much not to be in the non-forgiving people. I love the scripture that says, thy sins I will remember no more. God deliberately cuts his memory down and says, you repent, I won't remember your sins anymore. In another place he says, I will cast them behind my back. In another place he says, those sins that keep you awake in your memory bank and keep you wondering, how can God truly forgive me for this that I did years ago, for this that happened years ago, for this that I said, and so on, years ago. How can God forgive me? I tell you, here is another beautiful scripture that says, he casts those sins into the depths of the sea. Are you free? Are you free? Jeremiah says that we need to understand that God says, I will remember their sin no more. Many times when Satan has brought back onto the screen of my mind, and he's brought up something that I thought was done with years ago, many times have I been able to say to Satan, you may bring it up, but as you are regurgitating sin to me, I want you to remember, God doesn't remember what you're talking about, so leave. And he has to. Are you free? Are you free? You see, Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, in this 13th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, is teaching us freedom. And the Paul's preaching here is enormous. He also adds in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Is that what you do? Until you do, you will not be free. And you will not know forgiveness until you express forgiveness. Please look with me for a quick moment at verse 39 of this Acts 13. By him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. All these rules and all these regulations and all these laws that you cannot keep, because if you don't know them, they're impossible to keep. It comes to this place. We are freed. I'm free. If you go to Romans 1:17, you read, he through faith is righteous shall live. If you're believing this Lord Jesus Christ, you shall live. Someone wrote, religion needs to be less theory and more of a love affair. Been there? Less theory and more of a love affair. And so the Lord Jesus says to us this day, I want you to remember my death until I come. The reason Jesus gives for wanting us to remember his death till he comes is that his death made us free. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. But not all things are expedient, because those in the congregation that are slow in growing up in Christ may be offended over the fact that I can do all things because Christ is in me. And those that are freed and understand that to forgive is to be forgiven, those people, they might be critical if I water down and don't become so passionate about this freedom for fear of upsetting those that have not grown sufficiently. Paul uses this expression. He says, you know, I would love to come to the barbecue with you in Christ. And I'd like to serve you all with steak, big thumping steaks, thick, gorgeous, oozing. You want to go home now? He says, I should be feeding you steak, but you can't take it. So here I am pouring out milk and handing you a jug of milk because you can't take this stuff. How many of you, don't know hands up or voices, but how many of you have forgiven those that have trespassed against you? You haven't mentioned it for a long time. You haven't said anything for a long time, so everything's buried. And so you assume it's gone away, because 2 years ago was the offense, 3 years ago it happened, 5 years ago you spat at somebody or somebody spat at you, and you're all upset, but it's okay because nobody said anything since, so it's gone away, has it? No. For the moment anyone else brings up the subject, you remember, chong, that person spat at me. That person offended me. Don't you see? If you have forgiven, that's done with. It's no longer on the catalogue of, oh, poor me, I'm hurting, my pride is damaged. But if you haven't forgiven, you can't forgive. And you can't forgive until you understand forgiveness. So Jesus said, I want you monthly, weekly, daily, I want you to continually remember my death until I come. I want you to be free. Paul put it this way. In the 11th chapter of Corinthians, he says in verse 23, I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Sitting at the table in our house one day, our children were talkative and chattering and driving me and my wife a little crazy. But we put up with that because this was their free time. But I broke in on this particular Sunday afternoon and said something like this. What you're eating represents the body of Jesus. What you're drinking represents the blood of Jesus. And what we're doing is we are remembering his death till he comes. We're having communion around this table. And suddenly, everything became somber. Every time you fellowship with one another, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, will you take our hearts and as we eat this bread, help us to remember that you died for our sins, that you rose for our life. Help us to remember the suffering at Calvary and help us to hear again, forgive them. They know not what they do. Please help us. So that as we take this bread and we take this cup, we may remember Jesus, our precious Savior, our precious Lord, our darling King, that we may remember him, your only begotten Son. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, if you would come forward and help me, please. We read the Lord Jesus took bread and broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Gracious Lord, we remember the blood that was shed. So solemn. We can hardly imagine what it meant to you, the Holy One, to take away our sin. Life, you say, is in the blood. Your blood was poured out for our sin. And we are guilty. Yet you forgave and washed us clean. And we thank you. And we praise you. And we adore you. Bless now, we pray, this time together as we take this cup in Jesus' name. Amen. After the same manner also, Jesus took the cup after he supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it." While the men are collecting your glasses, let me say it is such a joy to be here. I hope it is for you. This is the day the Lord has given us to rejoice in him, and I think that's a thrilling day. We can make jokes about it. What a day. I read the obituaries this morning and I wasn't there, so it's a great day. And we all think some other humorous things come along. But it's important to remember that we don't have a day that is given us that hasn't been given us. I don't know how many days you've lived, but all of those days are more than others. And it's an important time. We have some friends I would ask you to pray for. You don't know them, and I'm not going to tell you their names. But they have a real crisis in their family, and their young son is likely to go to jail for 6 years. And they love the Lord, so does the boy, but he got caught up, and it's a real challenge. And I just would ask you to pray for these people. They're struggling mightily to understand how God has allowed this to happen. It's very difficult for them to comprehend. I'll tell you their age. They're in their late 40s, early 50s, and the children are 16 and down to about 10. And it's a great shame that has come upon them, and they don't know what to do. So they need to know and understand forgiveness. We're going to sing a beautiful hymn. And the hymn is 97, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."